Well, they went back every year. And for them, it had become a kind of discipline, a practice, a sort of regular holy habit. It was for them, after all, a way to mark the year, to stop everything else that they were doing, to go through and pack up their clothes and their food and their supplies, to gather up the members of the extended family and their whole circle of friends, take a look at the map, and get up early. Get up really early, probably before sunrise, and set off for the big city. It was important. It was a commitment. They kept the holiday. And this journey was for them, I think, part family reunion, part prayerful devotion, and frankly, too, part party. Passover. It was a big deal. An important time to look back and an important time to look ahead. To look back and remember and give thanks, but also to look ahead, to imagine things that were still coming. Liberation from their oppressor. To imagine things that were still coming. Their firstborn's calling. What would it be? A time to imagine things still coming, maybe even the coming of the Messiah. Could it be? Well, I wonder, did Joseph count the bags? Did he count the cousins and count up what they would be bringing as their offering this year? And how about Mary? Did Mary count her blessings and count the loaves and count the grain and the oil and count the kids? Let's see, 1, 2, 3, where's that Jesus? And what did Jesus count? He was, after all, old enough now. He had made the trip many times before, feeling more and more independent, more and more mature, more and more self-reliant each year. Yeah, Passover was a big day, a feast day. It divided the calendar between what had been and what was still yet to come. It was a new year. A new year remembering God's redemption and rescue of their ancestors, how he had liberated them from their slavery in Egypt, the time for lamb and matzah and wine and that afikoman dessert. There, the whole bunch of them together, just whooping it up, toasting and teasing and bragging and complaining, aging grandparents and brand new babies, crowds in the temple, and money changers busy in the courtyards. How many were in this holy family anyway? We can only wonder. Aunts and uncles, surely. Cousins and siblings, all sort of blurred together. Grandmas and grandpas, in-laws and outlaws, sisters and brothers and neighbors, good friends from Nazareth. All of them laughing together. All of them arguing together, sleeping together, eating the food of Hallel together. A chance to make resolutions, a chance for them to make plans, a chance for them to catch up on the latest news about those zealots or about the Pharisees, a way to get together in the big city and hear the latest about that horrid Herod or that awful Augustus. This time, finally, a place to stay. There really was room for them in the inn this time. I wonder if Mary and Joseph laid awake at night, laid there and sort of whispered to each other, "Hey, are you awake?" "Yeah, yeah, what? "Well, have you noticed?" "Noticed what?" "Well, Jesus." "Yeah." "Well, have you seen him pray?" "What do you mean?" "Well, did you notice how he seems to kind of pull away from us? Never seen anyone quite so interested in the temple. I don't know, does he love it? Does he hate it?" "Oh, go to sleep. It's a long way to go tomorrow, long way back home, and we'll have to leave early to get there." Night. Then the cock crowed. 2 times? Or was it 3 times? "Time to go." They stretched and they reached for the ceiling, sleepy and hungover, missing their own beds back home. They looked outside and the sun rose and reflected off the white stones of the temple walls, and it made them squint. They collected their things, their clothing and supplies and some of that special stuff that they had bought in the courtyard of the Gentiles, you know, the good stuff. "Somebody wake up the kids. We don't want to leave any of them behind. Where's Jesus? Somebody asked. Oh, sweetheart, don't worry about it. He's 12. He's a man. He's probably packing. And just for a second, Mary pondered yet again, pondered and then remembered the 12 Passovers earlier, back in the bad old days, when the emperor was demanding a registration, how they took that long trip aboard the donkey, how they had no place except for the stable surrounded by the animals. The bad old days. You remembered Herod's police chasing them all the way to the banks of the Nile, and the dreams and the angels and the shepherds, and then those strange men from the east. She looked up to heaven, and a little prayer slipped from her lips. What child is this? What have you done, O God? Who is this boy, now nearly a man? Well, no time for that now. No time for pondering. They knew they had to get going. If they didn't reach the next town before nightfall, well, then the bandits would be out, and you didn't want to run into any Samaritans out there. They all felt the pressure. A lot of ground to cover, a lot of supplies to carry, a lot of people to manage. Joseph, well, he was a little anxious and frankly a little mad. How did I end up here, looking over all this pile of stuff, this demanding and disorganized tribe of friends and family? Look, come on, let's go, he said. Where's that kid anyway? He's always pushing. He's always challenging. He's always, I don't know. Sometimes I'm not even sure he's mine. Let's go. Let's go. If we don't get out of this town, they'll figure out a way to tax us again. To Gehenna with those Romans, he said under his breath. He spit on the ground. Well, it felt good to be out of the city. Oh, Jerusalem, the holy city, the terrible city. Oh, Jerusalem, the city of hope, the city of disappointment. Oh, Jerusalem, that city that gives birth to messiahs, that city that kills the future. They walked, and they walked, and they walked. And now an entire day's journey away from that tempestuous town atop Zion's hard hill, Mary, she looked around and she started to panic. Her face turned white, and there was an ache in her stomach. Where is he? At first, it was just a question she asked herself, just loud enough for her own ears. But then it became a demand, loud enough for all of her relatives to hear. And finally, it sounded more like a scream with a fist clenched toward the sky. Where is he? They played the blame game for a little while, even though they knew there could be no winners in figuring out whose fault it was, or who should have known better, or who didn't do what they were supposed to do. 3 days. 3 days. 3 days of urgent questions and anxious inquiries, worried wandering and wondering, okay, stop. Just think for a second. If you were Jesus, where would you be? Put yourself in his mind. Imagine what he's thinking. And Mary looked up. The temple. Joseph said, let's go. Well, they wanted to hug him and kiss him. They also wanted to hit him and yell at him. He said that he had to be in what he called his father's house. And what did he mean by that? Was it presumptuous? Was it pious? Was it prayerful? You're in trouble now, son. They looked around and realized that their man boy was not alone. Teachers and rabbis, scholars and scribes. Joseph and Mary both struggled to compose themselves. It wasn't fitting to be upset or disrespectful in the company of these leaders. They, after all, were in charge, and this was their turf. This was their domain. They looked at their son, and they wondered, did Jesus want to be one of them, or did he just want to take them on? They looked at their son and they wondered, had Jesus found his way into the company of his peers or into the company of his enemies? Was this hallowed hall of the great temple a place that Jesus owned or a place that he would destroy? It was Passover, and they were never going to forget this one. Well, now 20 years passed, and there would be another Passover that the world would never forget. And just as he had so many times before, Jesus would find his way back to this city, back in the temple, back to this intersection between heaven and earth, between darkness and light, between life and death. By now, all these years later, Joseph was gone. Mary, though, Mary still pondering things in her heart, she would follow Jesus and his tribe of 12 back here for the annual meal of liberation and hope. Wow, this time it was something. Palm fronds, can you believe it? There was hosannas and shouting joy. They greeted her son with delight. Some of them even shouted, Messiah, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. She blushed, but was it true? Right back to the temple, just like when he was 12. Only this time driven by a divine fury, a holy passion, a grown-up, a man driven to change things, to change the city, to change the temple, even to change the world. That wouldn't do, though. They thought they got him. They, after all, had arrested him and tried him and tortured him, even crucified him and buried him. 3 days. 3 days, 3 days before the story started circulating, alive, raised from the dead, could anything stop him? Of course, we're here to say today that he's come again, showing up here when children are brought to this temple. Always showing up when parents act in devotion and hope. Always showing up when communities of faith assemble around holy families, when little ones are offered up to God. Always showing up to provoke and to challenge, to stir, maybe even kids. Kids see again the promise that extends to them, that whether it's Passover or New Year's Day, something's going on, that we all belong to this one who has come, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.